Some of the readings for this talk directed people towards the discussions on that have emerged and the debates that have emerged on the question of the April thesis, which a bunch of scholars have written about in the last little while and emerges as a debate within the revolutionary movement. I'm not going to directly deal with those debates, but people should feel free to talk about those debates if they want. Rather, what I want to do is just talk about how Lenin came to make the speech that he did at the Finland station. So Lenin's returned from exile on April 3rd, 1917, on a train that arrived at the Finland station in Petrograd, represented a number of things. It represented Lenin's first stepping foot in Russia in over 10 years since the revolution of 1905. It also represented a new political freedom that had emerged with the fall of the Tsar. The context of this new political freedom was the existence of dual power. On the one hand, workers who had brought down the Tsar quickly moved to establish Soviets, councils of workers' delegates elected directly from the workplaces, and then later soldiers' units. These institutions would subsequently be established among sections of the peasantry. The Soviets sat alongside a hastily formed provisional government embodied in the state, consisting of capitalists, lawyers and landowners that were committed to continuing Russia's involvement in World War I and opposed to the demands of workers, soldiers and peasants for peace, land and bread. This was an unstable situation because the provisional governments and the Soviets were two very different ways of organising society and embodied different interests. Consequently, the newfound political freedom in Russia was also unstable and would be taken away if the provisional government got its way. Lenin understood this, and as the year went on, more and more workers came to the same conclusion. For what Lenin's return, his speech at the Finland station and subsequent declaration on the same day at the Bolshevik headquarters also represented was a political evolution in Lenin's thought on the nature of the Russian Revolution and the tasks of the Bolsheviks from then on. So before dealing with what that political evolution was, I think it's worthwhile to get giving a sense of the occasion of Lenin's arrival alongside his speech and the declaration he gave. So, on the day, all day from early morning, Bolshevik agitators had been touring the barracks and working class districts, pasting posters up on the wall bearing the message, "Lenin arrives today, meet him." With the fall of the Tsar, it had become customary to greet returning figures within the Russian revolutionary movement on their return to Russia. A marching band would play the Marseillaise, the song of the French Revolution, while throngs of government officials, leaders of Soviets, workers and soldiers would wait to greet the arrivals. Within the station, triumphal arches in red and gold stretched the length of the platform above the heads of those assembled. The whole occasion was latent with meaning. From the Marseillaise that was playing because the band had not had time to learn the Internationale, the song of the workers' movement and the struggle for socialism, to the armoured car that Lenin drove off on. For the members of the provisional government, the officials and the other hangers-on that had come to greet Lenin, the playing of the Marseillaise and the fall of the Tsar represented the end point of the revolution. Stability and the continuation of the war were now to be the order of the day. The armoured car that Lenin drove off on was not to guard him from the workers and soldiers that had made the revolution and had assembled to greet him, but from the enemies of the revolution, both in the provisional government and outside it, that would seek to halt any progress towards the oppressed in Russia taking power and realising the demands of peace, land and bread. Okay, so on arriving at the Finland station, Lenin was greeted by Hidze, the Menshevik president of the Soviet, who Lenin had considered a dangerous opportunist. Greeting Lenin, he said, "Comrade Lenin, in the name of the Petrograd Soviet and the whole revolution, we welcome you. But we think that the principal task is a defence of the revolution." Lenin's response and what would become known as the speech at the Finland station, as recorded by Nikolai Sukhanov, a left Menshevik and historian of the revolution, went this. Lennon stood there as though nothing taking place had the slightest connection with him. Turning away from the Soviet leaders, he made his reply. Dear comrades, soldiers, sailors and workers, I am happy to greet you in the persons of the victorious Russian Revolution and greet you as the vanguard of the worldwide proletarian army. The predatory imperialist war is the beginning of the civil war throughout Europe. The hour is not too far distant when at the call of our comrade Karl Liebknecht, the peoples will turn their arms against their own capitalist exploiters. The worldwide socialist revolution has already dawned. Any day now, the whole of European capitalism may crash. The Russian Revolution, accomplished by you, has prepared the way and opened a new epoch. Long live the worldwide socialist revolution. This speech would then be supplemented by a declaration Lenin made to a gathering assembled at the Bolshevik headquarters, in which he would declare, "We don't need a parliamentary republic. We don't need bourgeois democracy. We don't need any government except the Soviet of workers, soldiers and farm labour's deputies." In summing up Lenin's arrival, Sukarnov put it this way. Suddenly, before the eyes of all of us, completely swallowed up by the routine drudgery of the revolution, there was presented a bright, blinding, exotic beacon obliterating everything we live by. So I guess the question is, what was it in Lenin's speech and his subsequent declaration that was such a shock, or as Sukarnov put it, obliterated everything we live by to those assembled at the Finland station? So I think to understand this, you have to look at, until that point, how Lenin and the Bolsheviks had understood the nature of the Russian Revolution. Before the political evolution of Lenin's thought, both himself and the Bolsheviks had argued that the Russian Revolution would be a bourgeois democratic revolution. Lenin argued against any possibility that a socialist revolution was possible in Russia, given the backwards nature of Russian capitalism. While a working class and industrial capital existed and was concentrated in the cities, this sat alongside a massive peasantry that was the overwhelming majority of the population that continued to labour in semi-feudal conditions. The capitalist class, which others in Russia, like the Mensheviks, had argued would lead the revolution, was too intertwined with the land-owning class and too frightened of worker and peasant revolt from below to play a leading role. For Lenin and the Bolsheviks, the revolution could only succeed as an insurrectionary movement led by the working class, playing a leading and independent role in alliance with the peasants. Therefore, the revolution would be bourgeois democratic, that would establish, as Lenin referred to it, the democratic dictatorship of the proletariat and the peasantry. As Lenin wrote in November 1905, purely socialist demands are still a matter of the future. So, in the Finland speech, Lenin now argued with the fall of the Tsar, the nature of the Russian Revolution would be socialist. In an article entitled The First Stage of the Revolution, that formed part of what would become known as the Letters of Afar, which became the basis for his speech at Finland Station, Lenin put it this way. "We shall explain the peculiarity of the present situation, which is a transition from the first stage of the revolution to the second, and why the slogan, the task of the day at this moment must be, workers, you have performed miracles of proletarian heroism, the heroism of the people. In the civil war against Tsarism, you must perform miracles of organisation of the proletariat and of the whole people, to prepare the way for your victory in the second stage of the revolution." Okay, so how did Lenin come to change his position on the nature of the Russian Revolution that caused such a shock? Well, I think part of the starting point and answer for this is a breakout of World War I in 1914. So Lenin's politics changed radically and permanently in August 1914. Until then, almost all his writings had been concerned with the situation in Russia. With the outbreak of the war, Lenin now set himself the task of attempting to understand and characterise the war in Marxist terms. This task would eventually lead to the speech at the Finland station. So I want to first deal with Lenin's characterisation of the war before going on to important other developments of Lenin's thought on the question of the state and the Soviets. So 1914 represented for Lenin the maturation of the contradictions of capitalism on a world stage. In his book Imperialism, written in 1916, Lenin argued that capitalism had changed in nature. From being competitive, thrusting and progressive, it had become monopolistic, passive and degenerate. Imperialism represented capitalism's latest and highest stage to that point. Large industrial firms now played a central role in national economies, and increasingly states played a greater role in backing what Lenin called giant state-backed monopolies in industry. With the emergence of state-backed monopolies, competition resulted in the search for new markets so that capitalist competition increasingly played out on a world scale. Capitalism had reached a stage in which the struggle for political and military dominance was an inbuilt and inevitable feature of the system, and it had led to the unavoidable clash between the world's leading capitalist powers vying for world domination. At the same time, industrial capital had merged with finance capital, and banks played a much more central role in the economic life within the advanced capitalist states. The merger of bank and industrial capital had, for Lenin, already reached a stage of organised supervision of individual enterprises. The development of a world system of interdependent states now, for Lenin, opened up the possibility of a worldwide socialist revolution, even if it began in backwards Russia. While production was still characterised by anarchy and competition, the objective basis for the socialisation of production under democratic control, in which a rationally planned economy in the interests of the mass of the population could be constructed. Just as the concentration of industry in general provided the objective basis for an immediate transition to socialism, so the banking system through which that concentration had been accomplished had already created the ready-made instrument for, as Lenin put it, the universal bookkeeping and distribution of the means of production on a social scale. So while Lenin had argued up until this point that a socialist revolution was possible in the advanced centres of capitalism, what his analysis of imperialism meant was that now the imperialist war compelled Lenin to see Russia's revolution even more clearly than in the past as part of the international struggle for socialism. The war, in his estimation, brought the question of socialist revolution in Russia and beyond into the realm of immediate possibility rather than far immediate policy rather than far-off possibility. But it was not just to be the objective situation that had brought the question of socialist revolution on the immediate agenda. The war also contributed to the subjective basis for socialist revolution. The central plank of Lenin's policy throughout the war years, partly based on his understanding of imperialism, was the presumption of the possibility of widespread revolutionary consciousness amongst the working class. So for Lenin, the European war is a tremendous historical crisis, the beginning of a newer epoch. Like any crisis, the war has aggravated deep-seated antagonisms and brought them to the surface, tearing asunder all the veils of hypocrisy, agitating all conventions and deflating all corrupt or rotting authorities. So it was one of the contradictions of the war that it, like any profound crisis, revealed the essential contradictions of capitalism. So the war had created a dual crisis, a political crisis at the top of society, in which, as the war dragged on, the deepening privations amongst the mass of the people meant that the hegemony of the ruling class had begun to break down. But the war also created a social crisis amongst the mass of the population in which they would be forced to fight back. The old order of the capitalist class had, for Lenin, now arrived at an impasse. So Lenin linked the organisation of the Revolutionary Party and its tasks to the consciousness of the working class. his analysis of imperialism with the fall of the Tsar now meant that the old formulas about the nature of the Russia Revolution had to be thrown out. With the fall of the Tsar, the task of the Revolutionary Party would now be determined by the goal of winning workers' power in Russia. Okay, so now I want to move on to the question of the state. So Lenin had not dealt with the question of the state imperialism in any great detail. The impetus for Lenin dealing with the nature of the state would in large part come from a fellow Bolshevik, Nikolai Bukharin, and in particular, Bukharin's argument in an article entitled On the Theory of the Imperialist State. Lenin's engagement with Bukharin's argument would lead Lenin to a major re-evaluation of the attitude of revolutionaries and his attitude to the state. So before going into Bukharin's argument and Lenin's re-evaluation, I think it's worthwhile briefly defining what had become the orthodoxy within the socialist movement up until that point on the attitude of the state, which Lenin held. So essentially what it boiled down to was that socialists and the workers' movement in attaining political power would do so by taking hold of the ready-made state machine and wielding it in the interests of the huge majority of the population. Bukharin's argument would break with this attitude. So what were his essential arguments? Well, he argued that in capitalism's present imperialist phase, the process of concentration and monopolization of capital had developed to a point whereby the giant cartels, trusts, and banks had increasingly merged with the power of the state. The state had become the most powerful organiser and director of the entire complex of capitalist relations in the most advanced capitalist states. This, for Bukharin, was a consequence of a dual process that had developed both under capitalism, both internal and external. Externally, under increasing economic and political competition between states, the state had played a greater and greater role in intervening to safeguard the interests of its own national industries and protect them via arming itself. Internally, with the development of large socialist parties and the growth of the working class and the workers' movement, the state increasingly played a role of protecting the interests of the capitalist class via the militarisation of the state. So the state had increasingly become coercive to deal with both internal and external pressures. The response of the ruling class to the crisis in the lead up to an outbreak of the war had been to place greater reliance on state power to organise and direct the entire economic and political life of society. With the war creating greater privations on the mass of the population, the hegemony or the rule of the capitalist class had begun to break down, and the state was sought as a means by which to discipline the mass of the population via its militarisation and the integration of all spheres of public life into the state. This all meant for Bukharin that thus the principles of class antagonism reach a height that could not have been allowed hitherto. Relations become clear, most lucid. Property relations, obscured by a number of intermediary links, now appear in their pristine nakedness. So for Bukharin, the emergence of state monopoly capitalism alongside the butchery of World War I would reveal to the masses that they would have to destroy state power, but importantly, in Bukharin's analysis, developing on what Marx had begun to analyse and develop, the state now had become the key fetter on the possibility of the development of a better world. As a consequence of his theoretical arguments, Bukharin argued that the state would need to be smashed. So when Lenin read Bukharin's argument about the need to smash the state, he responded by saying that this was essentially an anarchist idea. In critiquing Bukharin, Lenin wrote that socialists are in favour of utilising the present state and its institutions. The anarchists want to abolish the state, blow it up, as comrade Nota Bene Bukharin expresses it in one place, erroneously ascribing this view to socialists. Bukharin's argument was cause for Lenin to go back to Marx's writing on the state and develop his own understanding of the state and the socialist attitude to it. So in 1916, he went back and read Marx and Engels, and these notes would be compiled in what became known as the Blue Notebooks and what would later become State and Revolution. So in the Blue Notebooks and State and Revolution, Lenin first sought to understand the nature of the state. So for Lenin, the emergence of the state was bound up with the emergence of class societies. The irreconcilability of class antagonisms. From this, Lenin argued that the state was not a neutral body standing above society, but rather was an institution used by the class that dominated both politically and economically to maintain their class rule. So for Lenin, the essential feature of the state was that it was a coercive body in which the state was a special body of armed men separated from the people. In the era of imperialism, the militarization of the state had developed significantly. So what now emerged from Lenin's analysis of the state was a conclusion that no salvation from ruination was conceivable so long as the imperialist state maintained its stranglehold over the economic and political life of society. Only the smashing of the state and the institution of workers' power could now push society in a progressive way. Marx had learned this lesson from the actions of workers with the establishment of the Paris Commune in 1871, and now Bukharin and Lenin had, in Lenin's words, excavated this lesson. So for Bukharin, this meant that the working class must smash the capitalist state machine and create its own organs of state power, arguing either the workers' organisations, like all the organisations of the bourgeoisie, grow into the general state organisation and become a simple appendage of the state apparatus, or alternatively, they outgrow the confines of the state and explode it from within, organising their own state power or dictatorship. Lenin would now draw similar conclusions. In Lenin's third letter from afar, he put it this way. The proletariat, on the other hand, if it wants to uphold the gains of the present revolution and proceed further to win peace, bread and freedom, must smash, to use Marx's expression, this ready-made state machine and substitute a new one for it by merging the police force, the army and the bureaucracy with the entire armed people. Following the path indicated by the experience of the Paris Commune of 1871 and the Russian Revolution of 1905, the proletariat must organise and arm all the poor, exploited sections of the population in order that they themselves should take the organs of state power directly into their own hands. So the question arose for Lenin, how could the exploited take the organs of state power directly into their hands? The Soviets, which had emerged in the 1905 revolution and re-emerged in 1917, would become the key pivot to Lenin's thinking on the question. In 1905, Lenin had argued that the Soviets could be the basis of a new government and would come to emphasise this on a number of times. In several theses written by Lenin in 1914, he put it this way. Soviets of workers' deputies and similar institutions must be regarded as organs of insurrection and of revolutionary rule. In the first letters from afar, Lenin described the Soviets in a similar way, writing that the Soviets were the embryo of a workers' government, the representative of the interests of the entire mass of the poor. Tom Freeman, in his book on Lenin's interventionist Marxism, argues that in 1905, with the first emergence of the Soviets, Lenin had already begun to talk of equal power, or what would become known as dual power, and that this strategic analysis in turn led him to focus on the nature and role of the Soviet or strike committee, as he originally called it. So Lenin saw how the Soviets could play the role of drawing in the vast mass of the population behind the working class, because as mass democratic institutions, they created a forum in which the mass in which the masses could participate in debates and discussions about the struggle. Because the delegates to the Soviets were recallable and they reflected the conscious will of the mass of the population, they could become the democratic institutional backbone of a revolutionary workers' government. But I think importantly, precisely because the Soviets represented the conscious will of the majority of the population and had emerged in the process of the revolution, they could win the majority of the population to the recognition of the need for workers to take power. So Lenin's declaration that we don't need any government except the Soviet of workers, soldiers and farm-related labour's deputies was not simply about how the workers' government would look, but also about how the Bolsheviks and the working class could win the leadership of the Soviet, preparing the way for workers' power. Lenin, outside of Trotsky, really, who joined the Bolsheviks midway through 1917, was almost alone among the key sections of the Bolsheviks in recognising the significance of the Soviets. Okay, so to sum up. Lenin's analysis of the war brought the question of socialist revolution into the realm of immediate policy rather than far-off possibility. Capitalism had become a world system of interdependent states. Precisely because it had become a system of interdependent states, the developments in the advanced capitalist countries had also had their echo in a more limited way in the more backward countries like Russia. The crisis that the war entailed and was bringing to the surface would and did lead to an upswing in struggle. So both the objective and subjective basis existed for the revolutionary transformation of a number of countries. This, combined with Lenin's re-evaluated view of the state and the tasks of Marxists towards the state, combined with the fall of the Tsar, had a decisive impact on Lenin's ability to shift from emphasising the nature of the revolution as bourgeois democratic under working class leadership to a socialist revolution led by the working class. While the Soviets were both the institution through which workers and the oppressed in Russia would rule, they would also be the institution through which they could accomplish this goal. The development of the theory of imperialism, his re-evaluation of the Marxist attitude to the state, and his understanding of the importance of the Soviets all combined, leading Lenin to drop his previous position on the nature of the Russian Revolution and call instead for workers' power, obliterating everything those assembled at Finland Station had lived by and laying the basis for the seizure of power in October. And I'll leave it there. Thank you.